on this episode of Rev Hang.
Sandbagging still comes P2. Santino Ferrucci is my champion.
In IndyCar, my chances of being wrecked by Max Verstappen are virtually zero.
Fernando Alonso scored points for the first time this season. Our boy is on the board.
Finally out of the rookie zone.
Everything
they should
out
let
of it.
Us drive it so we can figure it out. And we can just stop speculating.
Yeah. Red Bull, we'll tell you where your car's actually at. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Rev Hang. I am Nathan, and alongside me is my good friend and co-host, Ben Bagley. How's it going, Ben?
Pretty good. Doing my best to kind of angle myself in a conversational way.
Yeah, that's the hardest part about this.
I'm talking to you, not to you. Well, should we be?
I'm talking to somebody.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe someday if we have a bigger working space, we can be across from each other with more cameras.
Yeah, not in Ben's,
that
like,
sounds expensive.
12 by 12 office.
Yeah, it's a little tight in here, but that's okay. Anyway, this is not a Ben's tour, house tour podcast.
Nobody wants that. Not giving them anyways.
This is a racing podcast, so let's dive right into some racing. With IndyCar in Detroit for the Detroit Grand Prix this week. Starting off with qualifying, we'll give you the top 10 for some context. On pole position was the man himself, our boy, Colton Herta.
I couldn't believe it. This is the one time I didn't have him doing well at all.
Yeah.
And of course it was Detroit.
You were talking smack last week about how you just refused to expect things anymore. And then he puts it on pole.
Yeah.
Good job, Ben.
I'll take it.
Maybe you just have to hate on Herta and he'll have good pit stops.
Have to not believe in him.
Followed by David Malukas with a great qualifying in P2, and Kyle Kirkwood in P3. Fourth and fifth were Lundgaard and Palou. Sixth through 10 were VK, McLaughlin, Power, Armstrong, and Rasmussen.
Actual decent showing from the Penske boys this year, or yeah. This race.
Yes, and they hadn't been caught cheating for once, so they kept their positions.
For now.
For now. So moving into the race, Colton Herta led the first few laps until Kirkwood made his way to the front. There were lots of yellow flags that kept the strategy interesting throughout the race. Herta fought with Power and Palou for P2 for the second third of the race. And then after the second to last yellow, Ferrucci cycled to the front, and there was one more yellow, but he stayed in front after that. That yellow was for Alex Palou getting punted into the wall.
Crazy.
But Ferrucci was able to stay in P2. After getting passed by Kyle Kirkwood, but he kept Colton Herta behind him, so Santino Ferrucci with his first non-oval podium ever.
Announcers were very happy about that.
They were. They were hoping. They were like, we're impartial, but we really want this guy to win. apparently,
the first All-American podium in since, what, 2020 is what they said?
Yeah, first All-American podium since 2020. I think if he won, it would have been the first AJ Foyt Racing win since, like, 2012 or something like that, is what they
said. AJ Foyt himself was racing.
Exactly. But, alas, that was not the case. And, anyway, moving into the results, Kyle Kirkwood won the race, followed by Ferrucci, who we'll talk about a little bit more later. And Colton Herta rounded off the podium. Fourth and fifth were Will Power and Kiffin Simpson. Sixth through 10 were Armstrong, O'Ward, Lundgaard, Newgarden, and Rossi. 11 through 15 were Dixon, McLaughlin, Erickson, Malukas, and Stingray Robb. 16 through 20 were Schwartzman, Daly, Abel, Siegel, and Rahal. 21 through 25, well, we'll actually go 21 through 23, I believe. No, that's not right.
Right, because...
20... 20th was Graham Rahal.
I was going to say, these all look like people who didn't finish.
Okay, that rounds off the finishers. I had to figure out my laps here. Then 21 through 25, starting with the DNFs, were Rosenqvist, Foster, DeFrancesco, Rasmussen, and Palou. 26th and 27th were Ilott and VK. Now that I've got my brain in order.
There we go, yeah. Well, it's weird. You usually don't see Palou with the number 25 next to his name.
Yeah, right, exactly. And I feel like we didn't have as many DNFs as we ended up having, but there were quite a few.
It is Detroit.
So, let's talk about some stuff. Ferrucci, we talked about being on the podium. Big stuff for him. Unfortunately, he wasn't in a legal car, Wasn't quite as bad as the Penske infractions, I guess.
Yeah, what was the problem?
His ballast was set up wrong. I don't know if it was under or over or in the wrong place, but the ballast is basically extra weight they put on the car for whatever reason.
It's because it's a spec series.
Well, yeah, right. But I don't know what, like, why not just have all the cars weigh the same thing, which they do. So I don't know. Maybe it's got to be for the driver weight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
So the ballast is extra weight they put in the car to balance everything out.
Don't fact check us.
Something was wrong with the ballast. Well, this is correct. Something was wrong with the ballast. Don't know exactly what, so I guess maybe fact check us a little bit. But he was docked 25 championship points. He was able to keep his second place. He was not disqualified, but they took away 25 championship points from Ferrucci and fined the team like some amount of money. I think it was like 25 grand or something.
It's not bad in light of other penalties we've seen.
Yeah, indeed. Could have been a lot worse, and I'm kind of surprised they let him keep his position, but I guess maybe the ballast was too heavy, and so they're like, well, he didn't really gain anything
actual
from
sandbagging.
Yeah. Sandbagging still comes P2. Santino Ferrucci is my champion.
My goat.
So that's all the deal with Ferrucci. Great drive from him. Not too often we see him up at the front like that. Kyle Kirkwood had another win. He and Palou are the only two drivers to win a race this year. He won in thermal as well. So he's the second most winningest driver in IndyCar this year.
That's so weird.
Which is wild. It's Kirkwood. But alas, here we are. Colton Herta and his pit crew had a good week this week.
It was crazy. And they had so many pits, too. They just kept coming in because they came on the safety car. The last one, like, this is it. This is where it's going to end. There's no way this guy's fighting for third or for a podium. And he's going to come in for an extra pit without really needing one. And just, it was crazy. I literally was, like, holding my breath during that last pit stop.
Another team drops a wheel nut. Yeah. Like, forgets to put it on the car.
Yeah, every single time a wheel flew off a car during the race, I was like, that could be Herta.
I'm waiting to see the black and yellow car on the wall.
Yeah.
No, but they had a great weekend. Of course, he didn't convert pole into a win, which is unfortunate, and he seemed to be struggling for pace throughout the race, but
he did have a great fight with Power towards the end.
He really did. He managed
to. And his little scrap with Palou was good, too.
Yeah.
It really reminded me that he's actually a decent race car driver. He just kind of overdrives a lot, which causes him to have to pit more, which causes his pit team to have more opportunities to fail.
Yeah. It's kind of not the best cycle.
It's a really
of
bad combination.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. But yes, he is a very good driver. Speaking of very good drivers, Scott McLaughlin punted. Who was it? It was Nolan Siegel. Was it? No.
Yep.
No. What? It was Calamai. No.
No, it was Siegel.
Was it Siegel?
Yeah, because Tony Kanaan is Siegel's manager, I'm pretty sure.
That's.
Or no, Tony Kanaan is the one who lobbied for Siegel to go to McLaren.
Okay. It was somebody. Siegel sounds right.
Yeah.
So
pretty sure it's Siegel.
It was one of the McLarens. I believe it was Siegel. McLaughlin punted him around, spun him around on the front straight. Did not crash into the wall, luckily. He just got spun around and caused a caution. McLaughlin got a drive-through penalty as a result of that. And then you saw more of this than I do because I saw what you sent me at work today, so I didn't have a chance to go in through and read it in depth. But you want to bring us through
the Twitter
beef?
I don't have Twitter. I just see all this stuff secondhand on Reddit and Instagram. But McLaughlin apparently tweeted, or X or whatever it's called now, a misjudgment or something like that last weekend, another misjudgment this weekend. And then Tony Kanaan went on and replied. What did he reply?
Well, the thing was, as McLaughlin said, he's like, yeah, I misjudged it, but I wasn't expecting that car to slow down so early and break that early for the corner.
Oh,
so
he
was like blaming it on him.
And then Tony Kanaan said something to the effect of, wasn't your team principal fired, essentially.
He's like, yeah, I wanted to go talk to your team principal about it, but I couldn't find him.
Like, brother.
Absolutely demolished. And then the comments were not letting McLaughlin have it. And they're like,
it was insane.
They're like, sorry, man, where were you in the 500? I couldn't tune into lap two. It's like brutal, dude. It's like, you might want to stop being so arrogant. I just saw you crying on my TV last week.
Just, yeah. Some
wild times.
I wonder if I can find it, but yeah, that's the hate cauldron really needs to make a comeback. It's been how many years has it been? Like three years.
At least
since
two or three
it?
Years since we've seen the hate cauldron. Let me see. Here we go.
Oh, do you just have it saved?
Well, you sent it to me. It's still in my chat.
Oh, nice.
Let me go to the source. Here we go. So McLaughlin said, misjudged this one. Old mate broke quite a bit earlier than I anticipated. Good to see McLaren team principals are still on the hunt for beef. And then he goes and doesn't add, good ranchers has a lot for you. Use code break, hashtag break later for 0% off. Wild.
Slightly inflammatory, one could say.
Tony Kanaan, McLaren's team principal. Misjudged last week, misjudged this week. At least you get a weekend off to square that away. I came looking for your team principal to have a chat, but I couldn't find him. Oh, wait.
Wait.
And then the first comment is, Lil Bro at Tony Kanaan, stop crying. You've made countless mistakes. You're embarrassing yourself. And Tony Kanaan responds to that, come visit the baby Borg and the championship trophy when you can. The guy's going off on Twitter.
Awesome.
Oh,
I love, I don't know why, but IndyCar beef is just so much more fun than F1
it's
beef.
So
because
great.
It's not like, it doesn't feel like rich people arguing. It feels like people who could conceivably get in a fight with each other.
Scrappy racing just drivers a little bit, actually yeah. yelling at each other. Yeah, no, it feels like real beef rather than, you hit me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, well, there was also beef in the F1 race.
We'll get into that.
First, let's go through the standings real quick. Alex Palou still way out in front. Even with the DNF, he's ahead in the championship by 80 points. He could DNF
it's,
again. And
it's
he'd
getting
be
better.
By 30
it's getting
points.
Better. Well, Dixon made the joke after the Indy 500 at the banquet.
I got you a five-week vacation.
Yeah, for your wife, your kids, everyone. You're going to go away for a long time, buddy.
Anything and, you need, let me know.
Yeah. The announcer comes back on. It's like he might still be in the lead when he comes back.
Yeah, and Dixon's just looking at him like, stop. All right. Pato O'Ward is in second place in the championship somehow with 221, followed by Kyle Kirkwood with 209. And Christian Lundgaard is up there in fourth, and Will Power in fifth. 6 through 10 are Rosenqvist, Dixon, McLaughlin, Herta, Ferrucci. Ferrucci up in 10th place in the championship.
I know.
Stuff.
Colton Herta's been trying really hard to get passed by this guy in standings. That'd be crazy if Santino Ferrucci.
He doesn't want to go to F1 so bad. He's like, if I just don't have a super license, they can't take me.
Please, sir, don't make me go to the Cadillac team. You can't make me. Alex Palou did say that he did not want to. Sorry to sidetrack.
Yeah, Alex Palou, yeah, no.
Confirmed that he was not leaving. He said, quote, I like winning too much.
Yes. I want to win the Indy 500 again. Yeah, so Alex Palou will not be going to F1 barring super unforeseen events. It will probably end up being, if I were to place my bets now, Perez and Bottas.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, Alex Palou is also quoted to have being said, in IndyCar, my chances of being wrecked by Max Verstappen are virtually zero.
Virtually zero. Max Verstappen skips Monaco next year to race the Indy 500 just to take Palou out.
Just to get angry and crash somebody.
All right, let's move into Formula 1 and the Spanish Grand Prix with the fixed track. They took the chicane away a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Qualifying. Top 10 were Piastri, Norris, Verstappen, Russell, Hamilton, top 5, and then 6 through 10 were Antonelli, Leclerc, Gasly, Hadjar, and Alonso. Horrible qualifying for Carlos Sainz in 18th,
yeah.
As well as Yuki Tsunoda, who qualified 20th and started from the pit lane, and a Red Bull that qualified 2nd.
Yeah. On the flip side, great qualifying for Alonso, who actually made it in Q3.
Yep, qualified 10th.
Just barely, but
yeah,
you gotta take it.
Then he's like celebrating after his Q3 lap, like that was the best lap ever, and qualifies 10th. Yeah.
To be fair, Stroll was 14th, and yes, never actually raced.
Didn't actually start the race, yes, indeed.
He's too angry.
So, getting to that, because I forgot about that, because it's the most forgettable thing that happened this weekend. Lance Stroll decided to take this race off after qualifying because his wrist hurt or something. I guess he's having problems. He did break his wrist a couple of years ago in a cycling accident.
Completely unrelated. Races. After getting knocked out in Q2, he definitely did not throw a little bit of a tantrum.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember this.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
It's easier to find on my phone.
Okay. While he's looking for that, yes, Lance Stroll did have a wrist injury in 2023.
The second thing that comes up. Thanks, FP1 Will.
But he had a wrist injury a couple years ago. Apparently it's flaring up again, so he decided to take the race off on medical advice to rest up for Canada. If he threw a tantrum after getting knocked out in qualifying, I'm starting to question the validity of that. I don't know where Lance Stroll's head's at, man. It seems like the last couple of years he's just like not wanted to be there.
Yeah.
But then it's just like, leave.
Yeah, you could leave at any time.
You could literally stop anytime.
There's no way your father is forcing you to do this.
No.
You can go not sell forklifts.
Go. What does Mr. Stroll do? I think he's in clothes, right?
Probably. No, I'm pretty sure. Wait, which one does he own? He owns, is it the water company or is it the machinery company? BWT, isn't it?
Does he own BWT? I will find this out.
He does. He's the executive chairman of Aston Martin right now. So, like, there's that. But nobody wants a Lance Stroll edition Aston Martin.
Yeah, I mean, he owns shares in Aston Martin, fashion investments, and other assets.
Assets, yes.
He owns a substantial collection of vintage Ferraris and several super yachts.
So he's just like...
Oh, okay. He owns parts of Tommy Hilfiger, so that be where a lot of the money comes from. If I were to guess, he doesn't own BWT, because then why would they be sponsoring Alpine?
That's a good point. Yep, that makes sense.
I forgot
for a little bit that BWT was the pink ones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, not sure what's going on with Lance Stroll. He's been down in the dumps the last couple years, and maybe he'll bow out soon. One can only hope, right?
Although maybe they aren't letting him go because he's their only point scorer.
That or him being that bad just takes attention away from how bad the team currently is.
There you go.
He's like, the scapegoat.
Unfortunately, Lance, we're both doing really badly right now, and you're our only point scorer. So, sorry, bud. You got to stay.
You got to stay. Anyway, I don't know. We'll see. I don't know how long Lance is going to be in the sport. He can presumably be in the sport as long as his father is, and... I don't know why he wants to stay, man. He gets hated on so much, and he's not good. It's not like he's winning or getting podiums.
I mean, to be fair...
He's been in the sport 10 years.
If I got to drive an F1 car as my job, I also probably would be a little loath to leave. Even if I was the worst F1 driver, I'm still driving an F1 car.
It's fair. Very fair. Yeah.
It beats being an equipment engineer.
This is true. Yeah. I don't know what kind of money he's making. Probably not great. His contract info has never been disclosed, like, ever. Because his dad's paying him, so...
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on from Lance Stroll into the race. Piastri maintained his lead at the start. Verstappen passed Norris into turn 1. Norris then passed him back on lap 13. Verstappen did a 3-stop, while the McLarens did a 2-stop race. A late safety car for Antonelli shook up the race. Quite a bit. Verstappen pit for hard tires and everybody else pit for softs. Leclerc then passed Verstappen on the restart, and Max defended P4 from Russell after making contact. Unfortunately, Red Bull Racing told Verstappen to give the position back to Russell completely unnecessarily, which then made Max insanely upset.
Yeah.
So he slowed down to let Russell pass, but then decided to intentionally drive his car into the side of Russell's car. They were both able to continue. I mean, the fact that they banged wheels and it was clearly intentional, and the fact that Max was able to so cleanly like make his point without actually wrecking him is like wild. But yes, Max did, after his post today, confirm that was 100% on purpose. He crashed into Russell to prove a point. Both cars were able to continue. Max got a 10-second penalty, dropping him to P10 at the end of the race.
Crazy.
Really shocked that he did not get disqualified. Really shocked he does not have a raised ban, but he's dang close.
He's so close.
He's very close.
He just needs one more, isn't it?
Yep. 12? So yeah. Max has 11 penalty points on his license right now. If you get 12, then you are banned for a race. For those who don't know, penalty points accrue on your license when you, well, commit penalties during races, practice sessions, anytime you're in an F1 car. And you get, if you get a penalty point, it's on your license for a year, 365 days, until it drops off. And if you accumulate 12 at any point in a one-year period, then you are banned for a race. And Max is currently at 11. We have two more races until a penalty point drops off, and it's only two until October.
Good thing he's not like fighting for crucial points in a championship. That
not at all.
That he very well could win if he stays in as many races as possible.
So Max got 3 penalty points for his incident with Russell. Generally, 2 were awarded for contact, but that one was very egregious. So if he gets 1 before the end of the year in the next, or the end of the month in the next 2 races, he will be banned for a race.
Incredible.
If he doesn't, 2 will drop off his license after Austria, and then I think the next time points drop off his license is the end of October. And so he'll have basically 3 points. You can't get 3 points before October.
There will be no intentionally crashing into Russell again.
Yeah, probably not. Boy, the fireworks that would ensue if Max got a race ban.
And crash into Russell again.
Yeah. Watch him get a penalty and then he's like, well, screw it. I'm going to get banned, so I'm just going to cause havoc before the end of this race.
A certain former Haas driver.
Yeah, Kevin Magnussen. That's the only time we've seen a race ban, I think. But was that for 12 points, or was that for doing something horrible?
No, that was penalty 12 points.
Okay.
Yeah. He finally got it, had his race ban, and then came back. He's like, guess
and
what,
he's
baby,
like,
I'm not...
Points reset. Because that is how it works. Points reset back to 0 once you take your
race
ban.
He's like, there's no way I'm getting 12 points racked up.
I think he got like 6 before the end of the season. just like hitting everybody.
Perform many heinous misdeeds.
All right, results of the race. We had Piastri in first, followed by Norris and Leclerc in third. Fourth and fifth were Russell and Hülkenberg.
Hülkenberg.
Fantastic race from him.
The GOAT.
6 through 10 were Hamilton, Hadjar, Gasly, Alonso, and Verstappen. 11 through 15 were Lawson, Bartoletto, Tsunoda, Sainz, and Colapinto. Rounding off the finishers were 16th and 17th with Ocon and Behrman. And our two retirees were Antonelli and Albon.
Poor Antonelli.
Yeah. Yeah, poor Albon. He had to drive next to Liam Lawson for too many laps, and his car just couldn't take it anymore.
It just killed him.
All right, so let's move into some talking points. Fernando Alonso scored points for the first time this season. Our boy is on the board.
Finally out of the rookie zone.
Finally, yeah. He still only has 1/7 of Lance Stroll's points.
Oh, wait, yeah, he's still in the rookie zone. Never mind.
Yeah. He moved up from 21st to 18th. But he's out of the rookie zone, sort of. Nico Hülkenberg with a P5 has now scored more points this weekend than Red Bull Racing's second car has this season so far.
Incredible. Yeah. And it wasn't even that he started really high and like just was able to maintain his position.
No, he started, what, 16?
He made up 11 places.
Yeah, that's wild. Crazy, crazy drive from Hülkenberg. Great to see. I'd love to see Bortoletto score points this year because I think he's being criminally underrated. I think he qualified 11th, right? in that tractor. 12th. Okay. Qualified 12th, but
you didn't lose any places. He finished 12th.
Did he finish 12th? Good.
Ahead of Yuki Tsunoda and Carlos Sainz.
Yeah, maybe if Lawson actually got a penalty and Max got a harsher penalty, then we'd have Bortoleto on the points too. But I think Bortoleto's been doing great this year for considering the car he's in.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully Audi can make enough changes. But yeah.
Well, you know, they're forecasting that they'll win the championship by 2028, so.
Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. Granted, everything Audi starts, they end up excelling in, so.
That's fair.
Well, Cadillac does too, and there can only be one winner, so.
Yeah.
It did take Cadillac a few years, though. And they're, what's the name of their, like, V8 race car?
It's their, isn't it Hypercar? Isn't that their Hypercar?
Well, there's the Hypercar, but there's the, what's it called? Cadillac
race. Are you talking about the partial EV? Like, no. The endurance car?
The
Are you V-series? Talking about a road car?
Yeah, it's a road car.
Are you talking about, okay, let's list them off. You don't need them to know. I can list them off to you, and you can just tell me if it sounds right. Currently, they make the CT4 and the CT5. Those are their performance cars. You have the CT4V and the CT5V, which have slightly upgraded engines and better sport suspension. And then you have the CT5V Blackwing and the CT4V Blackwing. The CT4V Blackwing has the twin-turbo V6, and the CT5V Blackwing has the supercharged 6.2-liter V8.
It's probably that one.
Yeah, usually you see them in, like, the marketing colors, like this bright blue color. Yeah. Yeah, the CT5V Blackwing. It replaced the CTS because it decided that
the CTS was the one I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Okay.
CT5V. It's like their BMW M5 competitor.
I see.
You can still get it with
That's the one, yeah.
Yeah, you can still get it with a manual transmission.
Oh, yes. Or a 10-speed automatic if you're feeling
If you want to go inferior. Extra fast, I guess you can get the 10-speed.
I mean, yeah, they're so good now, but
yeah.
Recently viewed cars, Cadillac CTS 4GT, same thing.
Pretty close. I mean, both had supercharged V8s, so there you go into it.
My younger sister got passed by a car club on the freeway last week. She texted me a picture first of a 4GT in full racing spec with, like, the number 5 and a white circle. It was
That was pretty
beautiful
cool.
car.
Imagine showing up to an autocross with an SCCA legal GT.
Oof.
That'd be hilarious.
Everybody shaking in their boots. She was also passed by a 650S. So
nice.
That. Apparently there was an event door too, because there has to be one in a car club, I guess. Right?
Yeah.
but those were the cars I heard. I'm sure there were more than just that, but I was very excited about the 4GT because that's the most exciting car to see on the road.
Yeah.
Rather than the other ones. I mean, the other ones are cool. Sick to see on the road, but, like, if you see a 4GT pass you in full race spec.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I didn't see the picture that you sent me super clearly. Was it, like, a modern GT, or is it, like, the 2005 GT? Or was it a classic GT, like GT40?
It was, I think it was a GT40. It was an older one.
Oh, sick.
Yeah.
That's even cooler.
GT40. It wasn't one of the, yeah, it was this one.
Yeah. That's pretty sick.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet. It wasn't the Golf livery, so it wasn't the GT40, but it was GT40.
Honestly, it'd feel kind of weird painting just like a regular GT40 that livery, because I don't know, it just feels kind of like posing.
Yeah. A little bit.
Just own it, dude.
Yeah. You already own a cool car, don't ruin it by trying to be cooler. All right, Oscar Piastri is back at it again with the wins.
The whiplash.
We're sidetracked. He's back at it, back winning again after a few races off. It's only a matter of time. I still think he's the best McLaren driver right now.
Yeah.
Lando Norris, I would love to see win a championship. I think he deserves it. Unfortunately, Oscar Piastri is super good.
He also seems to be deserving of it this year.
Yes. This year, for sure, Oscar deserves it. I think Lando's just been kind of the guy who's been in waiting for so much, for so long, and now he's got his chance, but he's got a teammate that's, like, arguably the next Verstappen. So,
bold.
Dude, I think Oscar is really good.
Is that the thumbnail
good.
For
it's
today?
It's his third year. And he's
that's fair. Yeah,
won so many races this year.
No, dude, but it's just the car. Dude, I swear it's just the car.
Oh, it's totally just the car. Yes. Yeah, I'm over that. With qualifying, this has been the largest gap between first and second in qualifying this year, and it was like 0.2 seconds. But every other race has been less than a tenth in qualifying, whether it's to the Mercedes, to a Ferrari, or to Verstappen. Yeah, I don't think it's just the car.
Yeah.
So, Max Verstappen, we talked about driving angry. I'm very upset at the call from... Well, he was upset at a lot of things. A lot of things happened in a short amount of time.
Yeah.
He lost his P3 to Leclerc after he made a mistake, and then Leclerc kind of bumped him on the straight, which he wasn't too happy about. Then going into turn one, after that straight, George Russell made contact with him, diving down the inside, pushed Verstappen wide. Verstappen kept the position, wanted both cars to get penalties. Neither car got penalties. And then Max was told to let Russell pass, which then made him even more mad. And so he intentionally drove into the side of Russell. Long story short, Max got a big penalty for no reason.
Yeah. Do you think we'll see any changes to the gaining an advantage rule?
Not this year.
No.
Not until MBS is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't care.
That's true. It's kind of weird because, like, obviously race control is historically very slow at making these decisions.
Yeah.
So it helps to be able to delegate some of that to the team. But at the same time, then you have situations like this where teams are being overly cautious and giving up positions that they didn't have to because there's no concrete way to establish that.
Well, a few years ago, it was the case where a team would be notified, hey, give the position back or we're going to give you a penalty. But that's completely gone now. And it's just like we'll just give you a penalty. Yeah. Where it's like, I liked it before where it's like a team could either take the penalty and choose to argue it after the race.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe get it removed, or they could give the position back and try to fight it out on track. And so it gave them that kind of chance where it's like there's no gray area. It's all black and white. Like, do this or you will get a penalty, and then they have the option.
Yeah.
But now it's just like they don't give any warnings. They'll just give you a penalty, which I understand, but also it's like creates these weird situations where it's like, now you've caused all of these problems where you could have just told the driver, hey, give the position back.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know.
Maybe if the FIA just got more money, if they got paid more money, I think that would fix the problem.
Maybe if the nonprofit organization that is the FIA got paid more money.
Mm-hmm. If it was more fair for them, I think that would help. Because it's not fair for them right now. They're just not making enough money. They're not getting enough money.
They don't make as much as the drivers do. And that's just not fair because they do so much work.
Yeah.
They sit there and watch every race. Can you imagine watching every race?
They don't even make half the decisions on passing off the track now.
My goodness.
The other teams do that.
Carlos signs for FIA president, please. Lewis Hamilton, back to the topic at hand.
The script. Why is Lewis slow? I don't know.
Well, he is. What just happened? Lewis has been incredibly slow compared to Charles this year. He got past into turn one, got past Russell, and then Leclerc got past Russell, and then Hamilton, after like three laps, had to let Leclerc by because Hamilton was so slow. And then at the end of the race, battling for P5, gets passed on track completely fair and square by Nico Hülkenberg in a Sauber.
What a crazy throwback.
Wild times. I don't know why Lewis is so slow. I don't know if he's just, hate to say it, but he's getting old. Or if it's just he cannot figure out that Ferrari. It's got to be one of the two.
Or a combination of both.
I mean, Fernando Alonso's still going strong.
Yeah.
Ish.
But, I mean, it feels kind of like a similar situation to Daniel Ricciardo.
Yeah.
Where he was kind of on a hot streak at Renault. Like, he was finally starting to get his mojo back at Renault.
Yeah.
But it was just, by the time he went to McLaren, it was too little too late. The car wasn't as fast as some of the other cars.
And he lost his confidence and never got it back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he just kind of, I don't know if aged out is the right term, but, yeah, kind of lost it.
Well, yeah, I mean, maybe never getting his confidence back is part of what's going on, because even when he was in the Mercedes and getting beaten by Russell, you know, he was talking about how he just couldn't figure out the car and he couldn't figure out.
I do remember what a huge blow that was in 2022 when the regs changed and all of a sudden he was in a car that was maybe getting P6.
Yeah. It was like just a huge change for him because he's used to winning races or getting P2. And now, yeah, he's fighting for maybe podiums, maybe. So I think that kind of shocked him a little bit. And then he never really found his confidence again. And now he's moved to a new team and had to figure out a tough car and is once again getting beaten by his teammate pretty considerably. I'd say more convincingly than Russell is beating him.
Yeah. And, he's getting beaten by his new teammate and his old teammate and his replacement.
Yeah. And the guy that stole his championship in 2021. Not a good time to be Lewis Hamilton. But I'd love to see him fighting at the front again. I think it'd be a cool kind of comeback story.
Yeah.
Never thought I'd, if you told me 4 years ago, I'd be wishing Lewis Hamilton had won more races.
Yeah. I mean, hey, we got Silverstone last year, and that was great.
That was love great. To see it. Was fantastic, yes.
I don't know if we'll see another Silverstone performance from him.
Not sure. Speaking of slow drivers, Yuki Tsunoda, you just cannot figure it out, man. Where did he finish this race? 13th, yeah. After starting from the pit lane. Yeah.
Crucially behind Liam Lawson.
Yeah. Tsunoda is just getting thrown to the wolves right now. All the rumors are starting back up again about when is Hadjar going to replace Tsunoda. Oh, my goodness.
As if Hadjar is, like, turning off his phone and locking himself in his like, house.
Blocked Helmut Marko.
Not allowed. Do not call me, please.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how many more drivers' careers they're going to ruin, but I'm hoping what happens, well, for Hadjar's sake, I'm hoping what happens is they keep Tsunoda until the end of the year and put Hadjar in at the beginning of next year when they have a brand new car and everybody's learning at the same speed. Hopefully they build a car that's actually drivable for both people.
Yeah, let him use the car during practice and testing.
Yeah.
That'd be crazy.
Don't let Max drive the car. Don't take any input from Max.
Actually, yeah.
Because Max can figure out how to drive any car, probably. You want a car that your second driver can also drive. So, Tsunoda's been struggling, and Liam Lawson, he hit everybody this week in the race. Just ran into so many people, destroying cars left and right, except for his own, which came out unscathed from everything.
Put this boy in an IndyCar stat.
Yeah, for real.
Give him Stinger Rob's seat. See what happens.
Yeah, Lawson's been kind of struggling in the Racing Bulls as well, compared to Hadjar especially. Hadjar's killing it. Lawson has 4 points in that car. Hadjar has 21. So, night and day difference. Hadjar is absolutely crushing it right now. Moving into the championship, Piastri is back in first place. I guess he was always in first place.
He's even more back.
He's even more back. Lando Norris is still in second, only 10 points behind. And Max is now 50 points behind Piastri. So Piastri's really starting to pull away from Max. Both McLarens are, which is kind of what they were hoping for.
Mm-hmm.
And Max certainly did not help his case getting that penalty this week. Alex Albon has 42 points. I just want to shout that out right now. That's crazy that compared to last year.
Excellent, yeah.
That's more than Williams scored last year. Crazy stuff. So, great job, Williams. Alex Albon is best of the rest currently.
Yeah.
Although,
does Antonelli count as the rest?
I wouldn't count Antonelli as the rest. He's in one of the top three cars, so.
That's fair.
He is doing fantastic for a rookie, I'll say that.
Yeah.
But even if he was down in 10th, I wouldn't consider him the rest.
Fair enough.
Yuki Tsunoda, I guess I would consider the rest, but I don't know, man.
It's so hard. I feel like we talk about it every weekend on where the Red Bull car stands in relation to the drivers and other cars.
Yeah, it's a rough one. I just really think that car is horrible, and Verstappen is just pulling everything out of it.
They should let us drive it so we can figure it out, and we can just stop speculating.
Yeah, Red Bull, we'll tell you where your car is actually at.
I'll give you my honest
thoughts. We can't qualify worse than Tsunoda did at Spain this week. All right. With all of that Yuki Tsunoda trashing aside, Perez isn't here this year, so we have to pivot to somebody.
Scott McLaughlin?
Scott McLaughlin is the new one.
Can you finish more like laps McLaughlin, around though. Indianapolis than Scott McLaughlin on race day?
You know what? I bet I could. I just wouldn't warm the tires.
Yeah, but
I would get as far as Marco Andretti did.
I'm going to be doing this one on my Ram 1500 just for safety, probably.
Alrighty. Pit Stop Championship. Winning this week was Gabriel Bortoleto with a time of 2.13 seconds.
They're all pretty close.
Yeah, they were all in the 2.1, 2.2 area. Top 10 were Bortoleto, Gasly, Leclerc, Piastri, Colapinto in the top 5, and 6 through 10 were Hamilton, Russell, Tsunoda, Norris, and Verstappen. So, moving into the standings, Leclerc is in the lead, followed by Hamilton, and Bortoleto is in P3 in the pit stop championship. Wild times. Look who's at the bottom, still with 0 points this season.
Incredible.
Fernando Alonso and
the
Carlos
Spaniards.
Sainz.
No.
The Spaniards have not had, they've been...
Polo has taken all,
all the luck.
He's taken their points.
They're channeling the inner Colton Herta's and deciding that pit stops are not important. Tragic times for
Except
the Spaniards.
They don't have an excuse because their teammates are actually like measurably better than
markedly
them.
Better, yes.
And they have the same pit teams.
Yes. They also both have 13 points, the teammates. Wow.
Suspicious.
Yes, this is definitely, there's definitely something going on behind the scenes here. But Gabriel Bortoleto with 83 pit stop championship points is craziness. So Sauber is in P3.
Very cool.
The pit stop championship.
What a turnaround from last year.
You remember last year how bad the pit stops were?
It was a long run.
Laughably. Yeah, it was laughably bad. Now it's Aston Martin and Williams at the bottom. Overtake of the week. Speaking of Aston Martin, I gave this one to Fernando Alonso for his overtake on Nico Hülkenberg in turn 3 in Spain. Went all the way around the outside.
Let me see it.
It was a great overtake. And unfortunately, it lasted for about 200 feet, and Hülkenberg passed him again on turn 4. But that's besides the point. It was a great, great overtake around the outside in a very, very fast corner.
Kyle Kirkwood had a great pass, too.
He did. Was
with a broken wing?
Yes. When he passed Ferrucci, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was also a fantastic pass.
Partially because of the situation of like,
yes,
your arrow is broken, and it didn't matter apparently.
It's like Leclerc in China.
He just sped up actually. It's like, oh good, this is actually less downforce. This is perfect.
Like Leclerc in China, just break my wing every race and I'll go faster.
Yeah.
All right, let's move into our predictions for this week, starting with the Detroit Grand Prix and IndyCar. Pole position went to Colton Herta. What did you say, Ben?
I at least had an Andretti. I had Kirkwood,
and I had Lundgaard. Podium was Kirkwood, Ferrucci, and Herta. What'd you say, Ben?
Absolutely done in by the Polo DNF, both of us. Yes. But I had Polo, Kirkwood, and Seal.
Yep. I had Polo, O'Ward, and Dixon, so I swung and missed on all three of those. We took our free bingo space, and it betrayed us.
Yeah, it's weird.
Winning number of pit stops was 3. What did you say, Ben?
I had 3.
Awesome. I had 2.
Just wait till you see how many pit stops I predicted for next race.
Yeah, right. I can't wait. Top 5 for the Spanish Grand Prix, to remind everybody, were Piastri, Norris, Leclerc, Russell, and Hülkenberg. What did you say, Ben?
I had Norris, Piastri, Leclerc in 3rd. Got that one. Verstappen, Russell, and Hadjar as my dark horse.
Okay, you didn't have Hülkenberg in your top 5?
I don't know what I was thinking.
Shameful. I had Piastri, who did win, followed by Verstappen, Norris, Hamilton, and Russell. Ocon as my dark horse. I also did not have Hülkenberg anywhere near the top 5 in my predictions. Fastest lap went to Oscar Piastri. Both of us
Let's go.
Said Piastri. And we commented like, why are we doing this? This is why, Ben. Because we nailed it. Driver of the day was Max Verstappen. Probably won before.
I saw that first posted on Formula Dank. And I was like, oh, that's a funny joke.
Yeah, it's like, oh.
And then I watched the race, and I was like, oh, that's a funny joke. And then I watched Driver. I saw Driver that is like, there's no way. This is insane.
Yeah. Max Verstappen won Driver of the Day. What did you say, Ben?
I had Norris.
I had Hamilton. Should have gone to Hülkenberg, no question.
Yeah.
We saw Hülkenberg overtake a Ferrari. Like, How does that not earn you driver of the day?
You could have just said we saw Hülkenberg overtake.
instant win there.
We saw Hülkenberg.
Now just imagine if two more drivers got penalized, Hülkenberg would have been on the podium. If Leclerc got a penalty for running into Verstappen on the straight, and Russell got a penalty for running Verstappen off the road, he would have had a Hülkenberg podium where he wasn't actually on the podium, but he technically got a podium. It did not happen.
The world would have exploded.
Yeah. Could you imagine that Hülkenberg gets his first podium in a Sauber? Wild times. Pole position.
He's gotten podiums so far, hasn't he? He's just never won.
Hülkenberg's really never gotten a podium. Never gotten a podium. That's his whole thing.
For sure. Wow. I thought
it's the record for the longest career with no podium.
Huh.
Yeah, wild stuff. All right. St. Louis, IndyCar, pole position. This is an oval-ish. It's a weirdly shaped oval, I believe. Let me look at this. St. Louis oval race. Yeah, it's this one.
It looks like the belt on a rototiller.
I'll take your word for it.
It's true.
It's got a really wide turn and a really narrow turn. Gateway Motorsports Park. It's something. Anyway, it is technically classified as an oval. Anyway, pole position. And back like we never left. No technical difficulties
Nothing
at
happened.
All, Ben. Nothing at all. IndyCar, St. Louis, predictions for this upcoming race, Ben. Pole position, what do you got?
I've got Joseph Newgarden.
Joseph Newgarden, I have Alex Palou.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We haven't done this already once before. Not at all. Podium, what do you got, Ben?
I've got McLaughlin, Newgarden, and Malukas. I left Palou out because it felt, you know, there might be a chance.
There might be a chance. I went full Indy 500 style because it's an oval. I don't know if we've mentioned that on this edition of this yet. St. Louis is an oval race. Newgarden, Ericsson, and Palou are my picks. The three last Indy 500 winners in the last 4 years. Winning number of pit stops, what do you got, Ben?
I've got three.
And I've got four.
Very cool.
Yes.
Can you tell we're going through this a little faster?
Yeah, usually faster than usual. It's not as organic, I don't think.
No, we've already made all the good jokes.
Yes. I don't remember the jokes we made, and we can't just say them again. It's not
nearly
as funny
as it was 10 minutes ago.
All right, moving on to Formula One. We'll wrap this up quick. Top five. What do you got for Canada, Ben?
I've got Piastri, Verstappen, Norris, Leclerc, and Russell with Sainz as my dark horse. May he finish a race.
Yes. I have Verstappen, Piastri, Norris, Russell, and Antonelli with Alonso as my dark horse.
Hmm. Counting on a good qualifying from him?
Maybe. Alonso is pretty good in Canada, so that's my pick.
There's a chance.
Fastest lap, what do you got, Ben?
I've got Norris for this one.
I have Verstappen. Driver of the day, what do you got?
Piastri wins. I think Piastri will get driver of the day.
Okay. I've got Fernando Alonso, because, again, I think Alonso will do very well. Boy, the graphics are going to be flashing on and off screen so fast.
Yeah, put like a seizure warning with like a beep. It's like, yeah. You can now come back to watch the video.
Yes. Not yet. All right, Ben, for the first time this evening, why don't you give us your words of wisdom?
I won't ramble as much this time.
Okay. This is the first time you've done it, Ben.
Oh, yeah. What was I thinking? Listening to music quietly and other sounds, I guess, and just generally taking care of your hearing. Because your hearing doesn't heal as well as other parts of your body.
At all.
And it's pretty important because most people they talk using sounds. So
I've heard.
Yeah.
Literally.
Not to say it isn't also a great idea to learn sign language because it is great. But yeah, taking care of your hearing, listening to music quietly. If you have to, you can close your eyes, you know, darken the room, or you can't do this when you're driving. Please don't close your eyes when you're driving. But
not legal advice.
No, this is not legal advice. Get a 5% tint and then listen to your music and it'll be
also
so much better.
Not legal advice.
Yeah. But yeah, your hearing doesn't really heal, so just listen to music quietly. Eventually you will not need to listen to your music as loud because you'll be used to it, and it's pretty nice. I usually listen to my pretty much any sound source at like quarter volume, and I don't really need to listen to it any louder, and it helps you hear people in crowded bars, and I'm sure there are other situations where having good hearing is useful.
That's the only time I
nothing else
hear
is coming in handy to me. Yeah. For listening highlight reels of Cadillac race cars, I guess.
Yeah.
That's what hearing's good for.
That is a good one. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, anywhere there's loud noises, racetracks included, unfortunately.
Yep. Yeah, when I was working on the race team at OYTA, I always wore hearing protection in the race car. Generally tried to wear it when I was in band in high school. And it's, yeah, it doesn't take that much. And it is a lot less whiny when you go to bed at night.
Yeah, Ben can hear things. The tinnitus has already struck me, so it's not too bad yet. I've only got a few more concerts and stuff before.
That's why I don't do the sound mixing, is because you wouldn't be able to hear it if I did. It's like a whisper.
It's already quiet enough,
I think. I don't know. It's loud enough to me, Nathan. I don't know what you're talking about.
Alrighty. With all that being said and heard, thanks to Ben. Thank you all, everybody, so much for watching and listening to this episode of Rev Hang. If you enjoyed it, leave a like or rating on the platform you listened on. It really helps us out. Subscribe or follow if you'd like to see more. If you want to see updated standings for IndyCar and F1 or, upcoming racing from those series, a calendar of the upcoming races. I don't quite have this outro memorized somehow over the past 80 plus episodes.
I started getting lost because I realized I didn't turn the video light back on.
It's okay. I saw that too and I got scared. if you want to see updated standings for IndyCar or F1, or a calendar of upcoming racing from those series, check out our website, revhang.com. If you have a question about racing or about us, hit us up on DMs or comments on any platform, and we may feature your question on the next show. You can follow Ben on Instagram at BenjiMeetsWorld and myself at 2N_squared. You can follow RevHang itself at RevHangMedia on any socials. We'll be back in 2 weeks to talk about the Formula One Canadian Grand Prix and the IndyCar race in St. Louis, which is an oval.
Yes.
As discussed.
Rototiller billet shaped.
Yes. Which they missed. Yeah. But it's fine. But until then, I've been Nathan.
And I'm Ben.
Thanks for hanging out.
See you later.